Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, this is a cliche, but I have to say that if anyone told me a year ago or even a month ago that the Khabarovsk region would be the focus of some of the most significant news coming out of Russia, I would not have believed them, or at least I would have certainly have asked why they would say that. But here we are. Khabarovsk, whose capital is more than 6,000 kilometers east of Moscow, has been in the spotlight for more than 2 weeks now, with protests every day and very large protests with crowd estimates up to 50,000 and higher for three Saturdays straight, the largest apparently being this past Saturday. The initial catalyst of these protests was the arrest of the regional governor, Sergei Fergal, who is from the inaccurately named Liberal Democratic Party of Russia, the LDPR. He was arrested on suspicion of involvement in the killings of two businessmen in 2004 to 2005, and also in one attempted murder, also 15 or more years ago. Unlike many regional governors in Russia, Fergal was a popular one, and he had defeated the Kremlin-backed incumbent from the United Russia Party in a runoff election less than 2 years ago. Now there are other motivations for the protests, for the protests in the past week or so, including President Vladimir Putin's replacement of Fergal with a politician who's from the same party, the LDPR, but is far from a local figure and had spent recent years in the national parliament in Moscow. And now some of the protesters' chants are against Putin himself. Irina, what do you think are the main catalysts of the most recent protests in Khabarovsk? Has the focus shifted since they began?
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right in pointing out that the initial protest was against the charges that Kremlin brought against Fergal. But now the protest shifted last week against the person who was appointed as acting governor of the region, Dikhtyarev. Mm-hmm. And now the protests became really political because there are more and more slogans that Putin should resign, that they don't want the president of Russia anymore. So it's really for what started as a regional, local protest now becomes a protest against the system in Russia. And this is very telling because people really, you know, went out. People really were angry with the actions of Kremlin. And now they are angry with Kremlin itself.
Right. So it seems like, and of course, part of the background of this is Putin's successful effort to, you know, give himself the option of running for two more terms after 2024. So that sort of, sets him up as possibly the leader until 2036. And I think, you know, in part, that's obviously in the background of this. But it seems like initial protests over Fergal's arrest. And I think the idea in the minds of some of the protesters was, well, we voted, you know, for this person. You've taken our vote away. And I think that's how some people are putting it, on signs and in statements. But it seems like beyond that, there's also been perhaps a miscalculation by the Kremlin in terms of the response and in terms of naming, as you mentioned, this former Duma member, Mikhail Dikhtyarev, who had his initial, I think he went out for the first time and spoke to some protesters yesterday, I believe. But before that, he had sort of refused to do so. So it seems like there's been some, perhaps a miscalculation. Maybe it's not a miscalculation, by the Kremlin.
Well, you know, it's also, you have to keep in mind that this is a local, this started as a local protest, and people know more than probably the central media is writing about, or what is known in Moscow, for example. But there was a very interesting investigative report in Dieta, who actually tried to figure out what exactly happened in Khabarovsk, why Furgal was arrested and why he was taken out of the region to Moscow. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that exactly the same charges of killings in 2004, 2005 were given to the person who was the shareholder of the same enterprise that Furgal's wife was the shareholder of, and that's Amursal.
Mm-hmm.
So basis of all this is that this enterprise that was practically collapsing several years ago, mm-hmm. Now is one of the most prosperous steel enterprises in the area,
right.
And is the only one in the area, thanks to the wisdom of the new management that was there. So once the enterprise became profitable, it was taken over by a friend of Arkady Rotenberg, Putin's friend. So the first charges against the shareholders who had 25% of the shares that were brought up a year ago was in order to take those 25% of the shares away from him. And in spite of the fact that he has cancer, he was taken to Lefortovo prison in Moscow, and his wife actually signed a document giving those 25% of the shares to the friend of Rotenberg. So local people know all this.
Right.
That's why there is a mistrust in all the charges that were brought against Furgal. Mm-hmm. That's why the initial reaction was so strong. Because once again, it's about local enterprise, it's about jobs, it's about corruption, it's about Kremlin using force and judicial system to take over, to extort actually the enterprise and the property, to give it to one of the trusted persons around Putin. So we have to keep this in mind when we talk about Khabarovsk protests as well.
Right. It seems like the background is a lot more sort of detailed, and as you mentioned, this very, very big sort of economic or factor. That's very interesting. Another question I had, I guess, stems from the fact that for me, these Khabarovsk protests are something really entirely new. Over many years in Russia, I covered protests in Moscow and St. Petersburg, a few other places. And of course, there have been nationwide protests or protests in many cities over nationwide issues, such as the move to raise the retirement age a couple years ago, which was actually one of the factors in Furgal's election in the first place, because people were dissatisfied with the Kremlin and the federal government. Irina, am I forgetting something, or is this sort of the first protest wave in really 20 or 30 years that is kind of focused really on a single region or city that is not Moscow or St. Petersburg? I mean, I know that there have been protests elsewhere in the Khabarovsk region and also some kind of sympathy protests in Vladivostok and other cities in the area. But are we seeing something essentially new here? And is it something that's likely to be repeated elsewhere in Russia or to spread across the country?
Well, there were several protests, local protests, like the farmers in Krasnodar area were protesting once again because of land extortion, but they didn't take such a scale, and they were repressed pretty ruthlessly and very quickly. There were protests that came from outside Moscow into Moscow, and that's the protest of truck drivers, that after the new tax was imposed once again by the company that is close to Putin, the company that is owned by Rotenbergs as well. So those protests were kind of nationwide, but they started in the provinces, and then came to Moscow. But such scale of protests on a local level as we see right now in Khabarovsk, really, you are absolutely right, it didn't exist before. This is the largest local protest that Russia has seen, I think. Well, I don't even remember when such a protest was in Russian history.
Right. I mean, there obviously I've sort of forgotten, I guess, or maybe it's a different category, but there were the protests in Yekaterinburg over the church, you know, that managed to stop a church from being built in a park. And then there have been several in the north and other areas over garbage dumps. But those are less political, I would say, and also, you know, presumably smaller. It does seem
absolutely
interesting. And what of the idea that, I mean, we haven't really seen much, I don't think, in terms of kind of sympathy protests or people in Moscow or St. Petersburg or elsewhere coming out and saying, you know, we are with you, Khabarovsk. I mean, is that the kind of thing that's likely to happen as the summer drags on and goes into the fall?
There were several protests in Moscow and St. Petersburg, but unlike Khabarovsk, Moscow authorities and Moscow police was very quick and arrested, detained people who came out even with one-person picket, one-person protest that is allowed by the law. You don't have to register yourself, but still people were detained and released later. So I think that it really right now largely depends on the actions of the police, because interestingly enough, in Khabarovsk, police was actually supporting protesters, and we saw videos of police giving out masks to those who came out with a protest. Right now, the repressions, I think, are starting slowly, though, because the authorities now are trying to go after those who not organized the protest, because one of the features of this protest is that it was not organized.
Right.
There is no core, organization that is behind it.
Right.
There are several more active people than others.
Right.
People that stands there on the square all the time. So those people are now are interrogated or called to the police by the authorities. One of the activists who from Vladivostok who came to Khabarovsk to protest was actually beaten during the detention pretty badly. Police was holding him and beat him in his face, broke his nose. He spent 5 days in detention, and we just interviewed him. He was released, and we interviewed him on Friday. So this largely, I think, depends on how the authorities behave and how harsh the response is. But there are calls on Facebook, for example, to put the sign Yamy Khabarovsk.
Right.
Khabarovsk right. In support of Khabarovsk. So people are watching this, and for example, the fact that those articles that we publish right now on Khabarovsk are the most popular on the website, the most popular in social media, shows that people are really watching with a lot of interest what is going on there and how will the situation unfold outside Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Right. And absolutely. I mean, I think it sounds like, as you say, they're sort of starting to crack down, the authorities in Khabarovsk, starting to crack down on more, but doing it somewhat selectively at this point and possibly, trying to kind of undermine and undermine the protests without creating more anger. But so we'll see how that develops, how the response develops and what happens going forward. All right. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Irina, thanks very much for joining me. Those are interesting insights.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thank you for listening.